Hello and welcome to the Amphibolous Podcast. My name is Father Tom Early, and I'm so happy to be coming to you with our second installment of the Anglican practices around prayer. The threefold model for Anglican prayer, I think, is the official designation. Today we are talking about Holy Eucharist. And it is a wonderful thing, I think. We at St. Albans have recently started doing this again. And I am very happy that we get to do it again. It's really stunk when we didn't. So, let's get started. What is going on at Holy Eucharist? Well, in our tradition, in Anglicanism, Eucharist happens to be... Here, let me see if I can get this a little more pulled together here. That sounds a little bit better. Good. So... Eucharist, for many people in my tradition, is sort of our Sunday meeting. It's the time when we get to get together. And we do a lot on Sundays for what we call Holy Eucharist. We do announcements. We take care of a lot of the business of the church. We talk about when the bake sale is going to be, when the chili cook-off's happening, who reminding people that they need to sign up for stuff. That's when we intake a lot of our money. That's when we encourage people to give to the church, when we try to keep the lights on and the doors open. It's when a lot of socializing happens, especially around the peace. At my church, we have done a pretty good job of reining in the peace. I know that sounds small and kind of sad, but there's a portion of the Eucharist that's the passing of the peace. And sometimes people treat it like, oh, I haven't seen you in 1,000 years, and I'm going to talk to you about your kids and all these things, and you're just like, let's save that for coffee hour. So it's when we do a lot of things. But our purpose in this podcast is to ask the question, how is this prayer? And so I think that what's important when we think about it is prayer is looking, you know, at baptism. Baptism and Eucharist are linked, especially in our tradition. Eucharist is the only repeatable part of Eucharist. Eucharist is the only repeatable part of baptism. In baptism, there's four elements. You've got the renunciation and you've got the renunciation and affirmation. You know, I don't like the devil, I like Jesus. You've got some vows that are made there. You've got the water bath. That term always freaks me out, but that's what that's the technical term, the water bath, the dunking. Baptism literally means dunking. And then you've got the chrismation, the anointing with oil, and then you've got Eucharist. And Eucharist is the only part of that that once you've been baptized, you repeat. And so that's why we've got Eucharist. In Eucharist, we are recreated. In looking at, this is just a quick thought. In looking at these threefold in these three different parts of Anglican prayer, I would say that Eucharist, the daily office, and personal prayer answer three questions. In Eucharist, it's who we are. The daily office, it's where we are. And in personal prayer, it's whose we are. And so we're looking at who we are today. In Eucharist, we are recreated. We are we are recreated in the way that God originally intended us to be. In the Eucharist, we die. I bet you didn't know that, but we die and are resurrected. And in the Eucharist, we lose ourselves and gain Christ. We remember that it is no longer we who live, but Christ living in us. In Eucharist, our relationship with God is restored. And this gets back, this will root us in sort of the structure of the Eucharist. There's two parts. Sometimes it's called the Liturgy of the Table and the Liturgy of the Word. And we start with the Liturgy of the Word. The Liturgy of the Word is where we listen to God's story. We come in with our story, and our story is very pressing on our mind usually. We come in with our worries, our cockiness, our triumphs, our joys. We're very familiar with our story. And in the Liturgy of the Word, we try to root our story in God's story, or try to see our story in God's story and God's story in ours. We hear how God helped his people in the Old Testament. We hear how God saved his people in the New Testament. That's the deal. We see God's story, and we find ourselves in it. It helps us, for me, it helps me not get so Tom-focused, and it helps me stay God-focused and other-focused. And best of all, it reminds me that I am not the center of the world, the center of the universe, that's God. And it helps me remember that my problems and the problems of my community even are in God's story. And it makes me feel not alone, and it makes me feel connected. Our story is rooted in God's story and in the reading of the scripture. And hopefully the sermon helps connect some of these dots too. The next thing, and this is something that I feel like gets under. I feel like this is like a middle part of the thing, but the offering. I think the offering is often an under. The offering is an underrepresented or discussed or thought about portion of the liturgy. But really, at Eucharist, what we're doing is we're offering God everything. We're turning everything over to God. We're giving God our sins, our possessions. You know, we give our money. We offer God our souls, our bodies, as the Rite One prayer says, and our wills. You know, we've just spent a whole week trying to do it our way. And at the Eucharist, we ask God that he might give us the strength to do it God's way. So that's part of what our prayer is in the Eucharist. I want to turn, if you've got a St. Augustine's prayer book, which I would highly recommend, I've got a prayer here. This is a prayer attributed to Lancelot Andrews. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my hands to do your work, my feet to follow in your way, my eyes to see as you see, my tongue to speak your words. Take my mind and let my thoughts dwell always on you and in my spirit. Pray always within me. Above all, I give you my heart, that in me you may love your Father and all people. Give you myself, that you may grow in me, so that it is you, Lord Jesus, who lives and works and prays in me. So yeah, Eucharist, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give God all of ourselves, all that we have, all that we're in charge of. We give that over to God. And so we give God all this stuff because we feel like God can do with it better than what we can do on our own. And the priest, on behalf of God, does that work. We send everything, we send our prayers, we send our money, we send our sins to the altar. The priest will, when you offer God your sins, the priest offers forgiveness on behalf of God. When you offer God your money, the priest blesses it. And usually we say, "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thy own have we given thee." And then the priest will take the bread and the wine. I always talk about this, but the bread and wine are beautiful representations of our lives. The bread is sort of like the everyday mundaneness, and the wine is sort of these extravagant moments. That's kind of what our life is made up of. It's this. It's the bread in between the wine. It's our everyday lived life with these very vibrant memories and celebrations. And so the priest turns that, the bread and the wine, into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So I think that that's beautiful. So what else happens at the Eucharist? Well, we have broken people are made whole. We offer God ourselves, and usually we are, if we really think about it, we're not doing so great. Sometimes we are, and I think it's still great to offer God ourselves when we're doing great, but it's, I think more often than not, we offer God the hardness of our lives. And God makes the broken people offered at the altar whole. God also, in the Eucharist, takes broken relationships and restores them. That's what the peace is supposed to be. The peace is sort of like, if you've got beef with anybody in the church, you're supposed to make amends with them. It's an opportunity for real restoration of relationships. And so that's what the peace is supposed to be. And ideally that, in a sacramental way that happens sometimes, not necessarily in a practical way, but in a sacramental way that happens. The relationship between humanity and creation is also mended. That's one of the things that we're trying to do in the Eucharist is also mend the relationship that humans have with God's other creation. You think about pollution, you think about global warming. That's also part of the prayer that's caught up in Eucharist. And so we have all this restoration, and finally what happens is the people are made into Christ's body by receiving Christ's body. The church is called the body of Christ. And what happens is you have all these different people with all their individual brokenness, and that gets turned into the body of Christ. It's so wonderful. There's a couple moments as I'm doing the dishes after the bread's been distributed. I just take a deep breath in, and in that breath, I feel the gathered congregation as being the body of Christ. I think that that's what happens in music too, especially if you get some people who can sing different parts. We sing the Sanctus at St. Albans during normal times, and it's just delightful to hear everybody singing a cappella and all the voices mingled together with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Just feel so connected when we sing. And so after we're all fed, we're the body of Christ united. We go forth into the world. One of the wonderful prayers that sometimes gets prayed right before we distribute communion is the priest will say, "Behold what you are," extending the bread and the wine. And the congregation responds, "May we become what we receive," otherwise known as the body of Christ. And then the gathered are sent into the world. The priest gives a blessing, and then there's a dismissal. And then we're sent into the world. And often the fate of those newly created people restored in the image of Christ is to be broken and to get scuffed up. That's kind of what we're meant for, is we're meant to be made into the body of Christ only to be broken by the world. But with the promise that on the next Sunday, we'll be recreated, we'll be made new. Until that day that we are called home, never to be scuffed up again in the arms of our Savior. And so, that's the Eucharist as prayer. Those are the spiritual beats of the service. In the Eucharist, we are reminded who we are. Made in the image of God, restored into the image of God, sent forth into the world as the image of God. That's who we are. We are Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters and children of the living God. That's who we are. That's who we've been made to be. And that's what we become in the Eucharist. And it's a heavy thing. And I think me, like so many Episcopalians, we often take that for granted, but that is indeed who we are. So next time you get the chance to take the Eucharist, keep that in mind. I would highly recommend too, that you take the St. Augustine's prayer book. If you're Episcopalian, get one of these prayer books, because there's a whole section about the Eucharist, and it helps you, it's pretty clear to feel sort of the corporate energy around it, but the individual part of the Eucharist is something that we've kind of left unattended to, and I would highly recommend you grab one of these St. Augustine prayer books and use them to your benefit to really think about what this means to you as an individual, and to remember the answer to that question, who you are. So that concludes our little podcast for the Eucharist. If you have any questions, you can email them to tom@amphibolus.com. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have on this. If you have any Eucharistic questions, we'll be having Holy Eucharist at 11 o'clock at St. Albans this Sunday on October 4th on the Feast of St. Francis. Bring a dog and we'll bless them. That concludes our podcast for today. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can go to StAlbansEpiscopalChurch.org and click the Give button. And then under the different categories, give to digital ministries. And that helps us keep track of who wants this podcast supported. You vote with your ears, but you also vote with your dollars. And I am a priest of limited time. I am a human being. Thanks be to God. I cannot do all things, but if you'd like to see this continue, I would encourage you to give in that particular corner, and I'm happy to support that. To our listener Darren Baxter, you continue to support me in word, and I appreciate that. And he, I usually put one of these out when Darren asks me to. And so Thank you, Darren, for your continued supports. But we'll try and get another one of these out probably towards the end of the month. We took September off as sort of a sabbatical, a resting month. But until next time, God bless you, God keep you, and you keep the faith.